All right, if you want to get your Bible, we've got a lot to cover this morning. I'm going to attempt something that no preacher's ever accomplished in the life of the church. You know what that is? I'm going to cover 7 chapters in the next 20 minutes. Do you believe me? Good, because it won't happen, but I thought it sounded good, okay? All right, let's go to Acts chapter. We're going to end up in Acts 28, but we're going to start in Acts 21. As we conclude our series in the face of opposition, looking and tracking through the last leg of Paul's life, and how did he handle opposition? How did he recover when everyone was against him? So if you remember back in Acts 21, there was Agabus's prophecy in Acts 21, starting in verse 11, and he took Paul's belt and he said, whoever has this belt, his hands are going to be bound by the Gentiles. And the early church said, oh my goodness, Paul, don't go. You can't go. We can't have this happen. And Paul said, my life is the Lord's and it's up to God's will. I'm not running the show. I'm just following the director. So then we roll into Acts 21 and Paul goes to Jerusalem. He starts and finishes the covenant or the last of the Nazarite vow for the last week. And while he's there, there are men coming from Ephesus. And they come and say, you've violated the temple, and there's a riot. And they basically try to kill Paul. They drag him out by the scruff of his neck, and Rome interferes. And Paul is seized at the temple in Acts 21. And then in chapter 22, the Roman guards bring him from the temple out to the edge, and they start to interrogate Paul, and Paul says, hold on, let me talk to the people. So in Acts 22, Paul speaks to the Jewish people, and there's a hush that comes over the crowd, and everything's good. And the Roman guards are saying, okay, crisis averted. Well, then Paul says in verse 21 of chapter 22, I've got to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, that just makes the Jewish people all upset, and now they're really ready to kill Paul. And so the Roman guards, they drag Paul out of the crowd and they bring him back into the fortress. In verse 20 or chapter 23, they say, well, you know, Paul, everybody's angry at you. So we're just going to go ahead and beat you. We're going to flog you and we're going to beat the truth out of you. So in 23 and verse 11, while all this is happening, God gives Paul a promise. In Acts 23:11, God says to Paul, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must also witness at Rome. You're going to Rome. You're in Jerusalem. It's not looking too good, but trust me, you're going to get to Rome. So in chapter 23, verse 12, they start to have this theory and this conspiracy theory to kill Paul as he goes from Jerusalem to Caesarea, but that doesn't work because Paul's relative cousin finds him, finds it out, tells Paul. Paul tells the Roman people, and they surround Paul by guards. So Paul's moved to Caesarea, chapter 23. Chapter 24, Paul appears to Felix, and he gives testimony to Felix, and Felix says, well, you really haven't done anything wrong, but I can't let you go because it's politically bad for me, and insert politics into the race, into what's going on. So at the end of chapter 24, in verse 27, it says, after 2 years had passed, Paul spent 2 years in jail. For nothing, really, for preaching the gospel. And Felix left office, and he left Festus a gift. Do you know what that gift that he left Festus? Paul. Because no one else knows what to do with Paul. So we'll just leave him in jail, and someone else deals with him. So in chapter 25, verse 1, Festus comes, he goes to Jerusalem. He says, hey, you know, we got to figure this out. Got to figure out the Jewishness of this, and you didn't do anything wrong, but I can't let you go because it's politically complicated. It's not politically complicated. The guy's innocent, just let him go. But the Jewish people have such a stronghold on the Romans politically that they just want to have their cake, eat it too, and look thin. So in Acts 25 in verse 11, this should look very familiar as we've been going through this the last weeks, as this is our verse. And as I listened to last week's message, I didn't point out one fact about this verse. In Acts 25, 11, Paul says, hey, if I've done something wrong, then kill me. I don't deny that, but I haven't done anything wrong. They can't touch me. I appeal to Caesar. When did Paul appeal to Caesar? At the end of his time. When his life was in danger, when there was no place else to turn, he knew if he went to Jerusalem that he would die, and it wasn't his time because he knew he had the promise from God that he needed to go to Rome. And so Paul followed the government until the government wouldn't do what they were supposed to do. And he said, I appeal to Caesar. And Festus said, good, I don't want to deal with you. You want to go to Caesar? To Caesar you will go. Have a great trip. You're out of my hair. So now we cover Acts 25 through Acts 28 with this map. This map is available if you want to Google Paul's missionary journey or Paul's journey from Jerusalem to Rome. This will be the first or second hit, so you can have this as you study and as you go back and review. The red arrow is Jerusalem and Caesarea. He jumps on the boat, and this is where I'm going to cover a lot of chapters that we haven't covered. He has this boat ride, and it's more than just a three-hour tour. He ends up going to Crete, where he says, listen, it's the bad time of year that you are looking to sail. You need to stay put. Did they listen to Paul? No. So they went on, and they came out in the middle of this ocean right here, and they had a storm that caught the boat. And the storm was so bad that everyone thought that they would die. And God gave Paul a promise and said, tell the people this. Listen, it's going to get really, really, really bad. You're going to lose all your cargo. You're going to lose the boat. You're going to lose everything, but you won't lose your life. So for 14 days, I love this, for 14 days, the tempest tossed. That is meaning that they all got really, 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 really seasick because they're all on the boat. That's bad. But Paul encourages them, only the boat's going to get lost. They end up going to Malta. They swam to Malta. They floated to Malta. They were there. And it was there that Paul was making a fire. And Paul grabbed some logs, and out of the logs there was a snake. You remember what my favorite snake is? It's a dead snake. Come on, church, let's wake up here. It's a dead snake. The snake jumped out and grabbed Paul. That's why I live in Maine, to the glory and honor of Jesus. And the people are saying, oh, this is bad. This guy must have done something very, very bad that the snake came out and bit him. And they're waiting and watching for Paul to die. And guess what? Paul doesn't die. So they go, oh, wow, this must be a god. And Paul says, no. Don't worship me. Don't look to me. I am here to talk to you about Jesus and about the life change that comes from Jesus. So there's revival there. And as you look, whether it's from Jerusalem to Caesarea, all through this orange line, Paul always taught and preached the gospel. Paul never looked at people and complained. He never complained about the bad hand that he was dealt. He looked at the people. He didn't complain. He proclaimed. He proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. And eventually, he gets to Rome. He gets to Rome way up here, where he is going to be under house arrest for 2 years. Let's get to Rome, all right? So Acts 28, starting in verse 16. When we entered Rome, Luke is writing this account. When Luke wrote this, he wrote that they entered Rome. And we just quickly covered two or three chapters, but it's been a long ride. A ride of uncertainty. But it was also a ride that Paul knew he had the promise from God's word. You will testify in Rome. So they got to Rome, and Paul was allowed to stay by himself. Commentators have different theories as to why Paul was allowed to stay by himself. Some say because of the leadership that he showed in Acts 25, 26, 27, and some of 28 when he was on the boat. They realize this is a good guy. This is a strong leader. It's going to be okay. He can be trusted. Some commentators say it's because of Paul's citizenship that he was allowed to have certain rights and certain freedoms because of his citizenship. But either way, he was allowed to stay by himself, but he's going to have a guard that was chained to him. Just imagine that guard that was chained to Paul. I wonder what he and Paul talked about. Do you think they talked about fantasy football or March Madness? No, I think Paul looked at him and said, hey, since we're stuck together, you might as well. Paul had a captive audience. That didn't land very well, sorry. The guy couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't go anywhere, he was chained to Paul. Hey, since you're here for the next 8 hours, let me tell you about a man named Jesus. And he talked to him and preached to him about Jesus Christ. And what do you think that Roman soldier did? Went home and talked to his wife, went home and talked to his family. And Paul is proclaiming the gospel. In verse 17, 3 days Paul has been in Rome. Paul hasn't even had enough time to get his bags unpacked, to get checked in to the hotel, to make sure that he knew where all the local things were. Paul came into Rome. He was a man on a mission. What was the mission of Paul? To proclaim the gospel. To continue to proclaim the gospel. So after 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. Hey, listen, I want to have this conversation with you. This conversation has to do with our beliefs and where I'm at and what has happened. So they came to him. When they came together, he began by saying, listen, I got this story that I need to tell you. I've got this testimony that needs to thank you very much. God bless you. And may he keep you. And it's nice and cold. Hold on. Do you want it back? Okay. Thank you. So he began to say to them, listen, I've got a story. I've got testimony that I need to tell you. And he's going to recap what happened in his life. He said, brethren, though I've done nothing against our people, I've done nothing wrong against our fathers, against our nation. I've done nothing wrong. They've made me a prisoner to come to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to come to Rome. And I want you to stop and I want you to highlight, I want you to look at this, and I want you to really look at what Paul's doing. Paul is proclaiming the gospel. Paul is not taking time to complain about how he's been treated, that he spent 2 years in Acts 24 in jail, that he was almost flogged. What Paul did was he shared Christ. And my question for you and for me is, where am I sharing Jesus? Where am I taking time to proclaim what Christ has done for me? Because if I were to be vulnerable with you this morning, I spend more time complaining than proclaiming. And that needs to change in my life. And Paul set a great example where he did not complain, but he said, "You go. I have an audience. Let me tell you about what Jesus has done." So where are you sharing your faith in Jesus Christ? Let's keep going because time is quickly going away from us. So we have the next verse, and it says, and when they had examined me, Paul's just giving testimony, so I'm going to breeze over this. When they examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no grounds for putting me to death. As a matter of fact, when the Jews objected, it was then that I was forced to appeal to Caesar. We covered that last week, because if I was going back, I would have been killed. Not that I had any accusations against my nation. I was innocent. They knew I was innocent. I knew I was innocent. They knew that I knew that I was innocent. But it was for political purposes and motivation that I was found to be a prisoner. And Paul says, for this reason, therefore, I requested to see you, to speak for you, for I'm wearing this chain. He's literally in chains for the gospel. The guy is locked to a Roman guard. For what purpose? For preaching the gospel. And Paul has called together these Jewish leaders and said, let me lay it out for you. It's because of the gospel for the hope of Israel. Who is the hope of Israel? It's Jesus. And he has this group of Jewish leaders around him, and he says, look at me. I'm in chains because of Jesus. That's why I'm here today. And they said to him, we've heard none of this. We don't know what's going on. We've had neither received letters concerning you or concerning what's going on or what this report is. This is brand new information. Let me write this down. We don't know. And one thing that's a blessing and a curse in our life, friends, as we live in the modern century where breaking news is coming across your phone right now. Everything happens in an instant. But here the Jewish people in Rome are going, we don't even know what's going on. And now look at what they say. They say, but we desire to hear from you what your views are. Hey, Paul, we've got a question for you concerning this sect. Really what they're saying is we've heard this movement of Christianity about the way of this man named Jesus. Paul, do you know anything about this guy named Jesus? And I mean, this is Paul. I hope when I get to heaven, Paul sits me down and just says, I was tripping over myself because they're asking me what I think about Jesus. This is like you're looking at a preacher and saying, we've got 20 extra minutes. Can you help us out with something? Not a problem. Paul, can you help us out? We don't know about this sect. It's known to us that it's spoken against everywhere. We don't know why people are against it, but we'd love to hear from you. So when they had set a day for Paul, would you come back on Tuesday? Paul, could you come back on that Tuesday or Wednesday? They came to him. Can we come to you, actually? We'd like to come to you and pick your brain. Do you have some time for us? And Paul's like, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. See this? I'm in chains. I'm kind of chained to him. He goes where I go, and I go where he goes. So yeah, come to my house. And a large number came, and he was explaining to them by solemn testifying about the kingdom of God. And he persuaded them concerning Jesus. He told them about Christ. Don't miss this. These Jewish people are coming and saying, we have some questions. Can you answer the questions? We live in a day and age where we think people know about Jesus, but they don't. But people are searching, and they're asking questions. And what a great time that you and I live in to be able to give them a reason for the hope that we have. 1 Peter 3:15, a reason for the hope that they have. So he told them about Jesus from the Old Testament. Why didn't he use the New Testament? Because Paul's writing it. That's why he didn't use the New Testament. But he used the Gospels and he used the Old Testament saying, this is what Jesus was supposed to do. This is what Jesus did. They come together. He fulfilled all the prophecies from the law of Moses, Genesis, the whole way through the Old Testament. And look at what Paul did. He preached from morning until evening. Let us apply God's word. I'm going to preach from morning until evening. Do I have a witness today? Oh, that's really sad. That's really sad. Amen. Okay, thank you. I've got one that will stay. So Paul preached all day. What a wonderful dream. Or nightmare, depends on which way you want to look. And people are listening to what Paul says. Some were being persuaded. Some said, wow, that's true. And I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to follow in the way. I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going public as the seven people that were baptized just did. I'm all in. And some looked at Paul and said, thanks for sharing. I got to go. And they walked away and would not believe. And this encouraged me. This ministered to me because we all have people that we're sharing Christ with. And we just want them to come to the place and we just hold on to them and say, you've got to know about Jesus. You can't leave this conversation without knowing Jesus. And you know what they do? Thanks for sharing. Have a great day. And we own that. If I would have said that, if I would have done that, if I would have looked at it that way, if I would have drawn one more diagram, if I would have been more funny, if I would have been less funny, if I would have been more engaging, if I would have prayed before, during, and after. And we take all that and just allow this to minister. It happened to Paul that he preached the gospel and some said thank you, but no thank you. Some said thank you, but no thank you to Jesus. And you know what's going to happen to you and I? Some are going to say thank you, but no thank you. So people walked away from the message that Paul was saying. I want to skip to verse 30 because time is quickly fleeing us and nobody wants to stay till evening by your lack of amening. How did he do that? Because I know my sheep. So let's jump to verse 30. Verse 30. Paul stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters. Do not miss God's sense of humor. Paul, from the book of Corinthians, tells us, and we know that he is a poor man. Can't find 2 pennies to rub together. And yet he went from Jerusalem the whole way to Rome, and who paid the bill? Caesar. He's in a house that's rented, provided food, water, shelter. The Wi-Fi wasn't too good, but you know, 2 out of 3 is not bad. Who's paying the bill? Caesar. And why is Paul there? He's in there and he's in chains for the gospel. And guess what Paul's doing for 2 years in his rented quarters paid for by Caesar, preaching the gospel? Don't you tell me God does not have a sense of humor. And don't you tell me God cannot work all things out for his good pleasure. God is working through the life of Paul. And not just that, catch what happens. And he was welcoming all who came to him. Paul's not sitting in jail, twiddling his thumbs, checking off the days. Paul's got people coming in. He's ministering and welcoming people coming to him. And not just one or two, droves of people are coming into Paul's home saying, teach me the gospel. And Paul's like, this is awesome. I got a free potluck with a group of people that won't leave. This is wonderful. That's what he's doing. That's what God is doing. God is on the move. And he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness. He didn't have to try to spin this or try to weave through. He went and said, boom, here's the gospel. Here's the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. Here's how he's changed my life. And he did it with openness, unhindered. New American Standard put that in there, unhindered. No one stopped him. Couldn't get the gospel out in Jerusalem. Now he can't keep the gospel in. And the Jewish people, all they want to do, friends, is they want to stop the messenger of God. But you can stop the messenger of God, but you can't ever stop the message. And Paul is preaching the gospel. Notice, though, I want to give you some homework, and it's a doozy, so get ready, brace yourself for it. He's preaching and teaching the kingdom of God and concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just verbally doing that. He's doing some writing while he's in jail. How long has he been in jail in Rome? 2 years. Do you know what he does while he's in jail for 2 years? He writes Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Your homework this afternoon, brace yourself, is to go read Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And then, if you will, insert that into Acts 28, verse 30. Is Paul complaining? No, he's proclaiming. And he's using this time to further the gospel of Jesus Christ because this is what God has given him to do. And as you read those epistles, he's going to talk about men that have encouraged him and men that he has encouraged. And so it brings me to my final question for this series. How can I encourage someone? in their walk with Christ? Who can I encourage in their walk with Christ? Because as we look around, there are people that need encouragement. There's people that are in the face of opposition, that are going through difficulties in life, and they need encouragement. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're the one that can encourage, but here's a secret. If you encourage, if everybody encourages someone else, you know what happens? It just goes in a circle. Truett Cathy, the owner and founder of Chick-fil-A, he said, if you're living and breathing, you need encouragement. And if it's good enough for Truett Cathy, it's good enough for me. Who can you encourage in their walk with Jesus Christ? As we look and as we finally put a bow on this series in the face of opposition, did you realize what I've done to you every single message during this series? It's always been about the gospel. It's always been about sharing and proclaiming what Christ has done. What we saw happen this morning by those seven people that went public. They're stepping up and saying, my life has been changed by Christ. And we're going to leave here in 2 minutes. And we're going to walk out into a parking lot and drive into a world that so desperately needs to hear the hope of Israel. Do you know who the hope of Israel is? It's Jesus Christ. They so desperately need to hear about Jesus Christ. They need to hear about him and be encouraged in their walk with Christ. What a great day it has been. What a great challenge we have had. So, Lord, we're thankful for Paul. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to look back at a man that had every right and reason to complain about how he was treated, the hand that he was dealt. And yet he didn't. He took time to proclaim what you had done through him, his life that was changed by you. Lord, may we take from that example and share Jesus, the hope of Israel, the hope of our nation, because of his life, his death, and his resurrection. He can change our lives if we're willing to allow him. Lord, help us to encourage one another, to find that one person that needs an encouraging word, and then encourage them in their walk with you. We do love you, we do worship you, and we're so thankful that you died on the cross for us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.